Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program. Today and all this week, we're looking at issues which relate to the humanity of Christ. In our last study, we looked at the false views which rose up in the church from the first to the fourth century. In our study today, we'll be looking at those views which rose up during the fifth through the seventh centuries, opposing the true humanity of Christ. And in the fifth century, once again, we come to another individual inside the church, a presbyter in the city of Antioch and a bishop of Constantinople by the name of Nestorius. And he denied the union of natures or the unity of the person of Christ. Cyril of Alexandria was a chief opponent and had this doctrine condemned at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD. He carried the distinction of natures, that is, the human nature and the divine nature, too far. His teaching denied the unity of the person, which amounted to believing in two persons. He tried to distinguish between the human Jesus, who could die, and the divine Son, who could not. And basically, he ended up teaching that the human aspect of Christ, the human nature of Christ, was completely controlled by the divine. In the proper view of this subject, we need to adhere to the fact that Jesus Christ is one person with two distinct natures, a human nature as well as a divine nature, but yet he is still one person. And once again, we see that this is a doctrine that rose up within the church. And it is amazing to me how many false doctrines come into the life of the church. And even today we have the same problem. And part of that may be just that people do not study the Word of God or do not take the Word of God to be the final line of truth, the revelation from God. And others that do study the Bible, they adhere themselves to false teachers. They may mean well, they may have a right desire to learn the Word of God, but they're listening to some of the wrong men. Even this last week, as I was listening on the radio, I heard a man teaching that God created man so that he could look at himself, that he could create a class of people like himself, that he wanted to reproduce himself. That is complete heresy, elevating man to the status of God and demoting God to the status of us. And he was trying to explain what it means for man to be created in the image and likeness of God. And the bottom line is he came up with a heretical view. That's a man on the radio teaching inside the church, having that opportunity to influence a multitude of people. And this sort of stuff grieves my heart. And that's why I like to go back to church history and say, here's what the church has already refuted. Here's what the church has already denied. Here's what the church has affirmed throughout its history in the relationship of the human and the divine nature of Christ being one person, yet two distinct natures. Then as we move on into the fifth century, another individual in the church by the name of Eutyches, who was a presbyter of the church at Constantinople, he taught that there was only one nature in Christ. Actually, that the divine and the human nature formed a third nature. The human nature was swallowed up by the divine side to form a third nature. Basically, he taught an absorption of the human nature into the divine. This doctrine in the 5th century denied the distinction between the human and the divine nature. This man particularly taught that before the incarnation, there were two natures, but afterwards there was only one. The human was changed into divine, and the true humanity of Jesus was completely ignored. That even his body was divine. This false doctrine was condemned at the Council of Chalcedon in 451. And at this point, I'd like to read to you from the Creed of Chalcedon, which was written in 451, which the church labored to write concerning the human and divine nature of Jesus Christ. It reads this way: "We then, following the holy fathers, all with one consent, teach men and confess one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man." So this first point stresses that Jesus was perfectly God and perfectly man, of reasonable or rational soul and body, consubstantial with the Father according to the Godhead, and consubstantial with us as to his humanity. And that term consubstantial means of the same essence. Not like the Father in relationship to his deity, as Arius taught, but exactly like the Father in relationship to his deity. And also consubstantial with us as to his humanity. That means that his body was exactly like ours, yet without sin. The Creed goes on to say, "In all things like us, except sin, before the ages begotten of the Father as to his deity, but in the latter days for us and for our redemption, begotten of the Virgin Mary." So here it's stressed that Christ was born of a virgin, and yet what was produced was a true human body without sin, but yet also the divine nature was linked up. The Creed goes on to say, "Only begotten, manifest in two natures. Now, this is important. Without confusion, without conversion, indivisibly, inseparably. And that's what these other false doctrines did. They tried to fuse the human and divine nature together, ended up denying one or the other, either denying the true divinity of Christ or the true humanity of Christ. The creed goes on to say, the distinction of natures being by no means abolished by the union, but rather the property of each preserved and combined into one person and one hypostasis. Not one severed into two persons, but one and the same Son and only begotten. So what we have in the 5th century is a creed nailing down what the church has believed and confessed, that Jesus Christ is one person with two natures, a divine nature as well as a human nature, a true human nature like ours. And to deny either one is just as heretical. And there's an important passage in John chapter 17, verse 3, which reads, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life boils down to knowing Jesus Christ as he has been revealed in the Bible. People can't make up their own Jesus. Well, this is the Jesus that I worship. God has revealed himself in the person of Christ, and we need to know him to have true eternal life. So to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ is to deny the true Christ and to receive a false Jesus. First John even says, to deny the humanity of Christ, that you are a deceiver and an antichrist and part of the spirit of the antichrist. So these are not optional doctrines that we could choose to hold to or not, but we need to affirm and agree with what the church has taught throughout the centuries. Then moving on into the 7th century, there was a battle that existed within the church for about 50 years from 633 to 680. And that was over the idea of how many wills does Christ have? And this is given a term, which is a kind of a technical term, monotheletic, which comes from two Greek words, monos, which is one, and thelema, which means will, which is found in this Bible. And the church began to argue, does Christ have one will or two wills? And basically it goes back to the same point which had been battled out in relationship to the previous 6 centuries of affirming the fact that Christ had two natures yet was one person. And the church came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ had two wills, the will of the divine side as well as the will of the human side. And the church settled this issue at what was called the 6th Ecumenical Council in Constantinople in 680. The church gathered together and they added this portion to the Chalcedonian Creed, which was written in 451. It says, "And we likewise preach two natural wills in him, Jesus Christ, and two natural operations, undivided, inconvertible, inseparable, unmixed, according to the doctrine of the Holy Fathers. And two natural wills are not contrary, as the impious heretics assert, far from it. But as human will follows the divine will, and it is not resisting nor reluctant, but rather subject to the divine will, according to the wise Athanasius." Creed goes on to quote John 6:38, where Jesus says, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Therefore, we confess two natural wills and operations, harmoniously united for the salvation of the human race." Thus the church affirmed, just as Jesus Christ has two natures, he has both a human will as well as a divine will that cooperated with one another. This last heresy in the 7th century seemed to be the last one that the church has had to deal with ever since that point. Sure, there's been various views about Christ, but primarily they've been outside of the church and have not been able to take root inside of the church. Then moving on to the Reformation period in the early 1500s, basically, the leaders of the church at that point adopted all the decisions of the first 6 general councils, what they taught and what they condemned. And the Reformed viewpoint is contained in the Westminster Confession of Faith, which reads, "So that two perfect and distinct natures, the Godhead and the manhood, were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, composition, or confusion, which person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man." I know that many of us are not familiar with church history and that many are not real comfortable in reading creeds, but what we need to realize is that the church has labored to define doctrine so that it's clear what the church has held to and confessed. And I'm personally not one that stands up in a church and confesses a creed, but yet at the same time I could see the wisdom that God has given to the life of the church in its history to be able to help preserve these truths of the scriptures on our behalf. So we could glean from all sorts of teachers which have existed throughout the history of the church. But this is a crucial area of understanding that Jesus Christ's humanity was not deified in any sense, nor was the true deity of Christ watered down in any sense. But once again, the teaching of Scripture is that Jesus Christ is one person with both a human nature as well as a divine nature. In our studies to come, we'll look at that more in depth, as well as look at some of the Scriptures which relate to the human nature of Christ as well as the divine nature of Christ.